আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়া কাফা ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমান কাসীরান কাসীরা। আম্মা বা'দু, ফাকাদ ক্বালা আল্লাহু তাবারাকা ওয়া তাআলা, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, this verse of the Holy Quran Sharif you have been listening to over the past few Fridays, and we can go on reciting, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala therein orders the believers that we should fear Allah as He should be feared. We should fear the displeasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is almighty, He is powerful, our lives lie in His hands, our wealth in His hands, our properties in His hands, our children in His hands. The ground on which we walk is in His control. The space in which we fly is in His control. Everything in His control. So we should fear His displeasure, because He can draw the carpet from beneath our feet and bring about a crash of all our desires and all our ambitions and all our hopes. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala should be feared, meaning His displeasure should be feared. His azab should be feared. Allah Ta'ala loves rewarding, giving, blessing. But when people become persistent in their sins, then Allah Ta'ala also punishes. And He says that do not die except in a state of Islam. Live as a Muslim and die as a Muslim. In other words, Islam should be in the life of every person who claims to be a believer in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There must be Islam in the lives. Recently, in one of the places, I spoke on the Surat of Islam and the Haqiqat of Islam. That the Surat of Islam cannot draw the help and the Nusrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The Surat of Islam, meaning the image of Islam, the picture of Islam, the outward appearance of a Muslim, it is not sufficient to draw the Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat, His mercy. It is not sufficient to draw Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and assistance. Unfortunately, today we have got the Surat of Islam, but the Haqiqat of Islam seems to have vanished completely. So a few examples were given, that if we have to see the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Alayhi Majma'een, the companions of Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then there was also a confrontation there between a surat and a haqiqat. But they were not like us. There was no question of them just having the surat and no haqiqat. There was both the outward appearance and the inside purification. They had both things in their lives. That conviction and that yaqeen on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's power, His might, His glory, His existence, they had in their hearts. So when there was a confrontation between surat and haqiqat, just the image and reality, then we saw in their lives the reality. If you read Hayatul Sahaba, or read Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi's Hikayatul Sahaba, then we will find always a mention of the haqiqat that was in their lives. Take some of the incidents that have been recorded authentically. Hazrat Nazar bin Haris, Hazrat Anas bin Nazar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not have just the surat of Islam, he had the haqiqat of Islam. Therefore, in the battle of Uhud, when there was a risk, it's a long story, everybody knows the battle of Uhud, what happened. But Hazrat Anas bin Nazar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he throws himself into the midst of the battle, knowing fully well that there's nothing else that will happen to him except Shahadat. He'll have to give his life. The opposition was tremendous and strong. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu had attacked from the rear. So at that time he said that I am getting the fragrance of Jannat from behind these mountains. He tells Hazrat Saad radiallahu ta'ala anhu that I am getting the fragrance of Jannat from behind these mountains. Now who can get the fragrance of Jannat from behind the mountains except a person who has got the haqiqat of Islam in his heart, the haqiqat of Iman in his heart, and not just the image and the picture. And he gets shaheed. Now these incidents we all read, but we forget what the message is in there. If we have to look at the story of Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how many times we have heard it, that he is about to be hanged after all the torture and after all the persecution and after everything that could have been done to him, now they want to hang him. And then he is questioned that would you like that we release you and in your place we put your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his reply? He said that even if I am released on the condition that just one thorn will cause injury to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I'm not prepared to have that kind of release. I do not wish to be even relieved or released with just one thorn pricking my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where are you talking about bringing him here? Na'uzu billah. Now this was the haqiqat of Iman in their hearts, that they would not let go Islam and Iman at any cost, come what may. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala's incident, little children, they know it off by heart. They have by-hearted it from the history books. But what is the message there, loud and clear? That there is an Abyssinian slave. He is being beaten, persecuted, tortured. In the hot sand of Medina, Makkah Sharif, he is made to lie down on his bare back. Hot stones are placed on his chest. And even in that condition, he is beaten. Now, which person can tolerate that much of torture? And yet the Quranic verse had been revealed that if the person had Iman in his heart, and just to save his life, if he had to utter a statement of kufr, it was permissible. It was not that it was prohibited, it was permissible. That if a person's life is in serious danger, and the person is a little weak, and he is told that if you utter a statement of kufr, we will release you, or accept Christianity or Judaism or any other faith, and we will release you. Then to save his life, as long as kufr is not in his heart, if he has to make that statement, it is permissible. But here these people were not even prepared to make use of that concession that was given. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in that state also he says, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. For if only they had shown a little weakness, then we would have gone to another extreme altogether. So Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is beaten, everything is happening, but he is still saying, Ahad, Allah is one. Now what was there? There was a confrontation between the surat and the haqiqat. On the one hand, the surat of Islam, just the image of Islam, the picture of Islam. And on the other hand was the haqiqat of Islam in her heart. So the haqiqat of Islam did not allow him to utter any statement of kufr. If we look at Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the same story again. Endless persecution. His father was tortured, persecuted until finally he lost his life. Hazrat Ammar the same. Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his mother also the same thing. Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first woman to be martyred. The same story. The enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl, he takes a spear and puts it through her private part and she loses her life. But they don't give up Islam. What was it that caused Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's sister to take such a severe beating? Her head is bleeding. She is wounded. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is beating her and beating his brother-in-law. Why did they accept Islam? Now this was prior to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's accepting Islam. But finally his sister says that you can take our lives, you can beat us, you can do whatever you want. But this Islam which is in our hearts, we are not prepared to exchange it for anything. When he saw her conviction, then that is what finally led him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he also accepted Islam. So there again there was a confrontation between the surat of Islam and the haqiqat of Islam. And here, because there was a haqiqat, So therefore they stayed firm, steadfast, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them dominance. If we have to look at a confrontation between wealth and the haqiqat of Islam, Hazrat Suhaib Rumi rahmatullah alayhi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is told that you can make hijrat. He was making hijrat. He was arrested and he said, if you want, you can go. But all your wealth and property has to remain behind. The gold and silver and whatever you have accumulated here, everything has to remain here. You can go alone, empty-handed. Leave everything behind. And if you want to remain here, then you can remain here. Now there was again a confrontation between the surat of Islam and the haqiqat of Islam. If we had been there, we would have said, no, wealth comes first and hijrat comes afterwards. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's companionship and his sohbat comes afterwards, nauzubillah. But what about all this wealth of mine? So there was a confrontation between the surat and the haqiqat. And there again the haqiqat became ghalib, dominant. And that has happened throughout history. All the sahabas who were ostracized, 3 solid years in Shaab ibn Abi Talib. 3 solid years, no food, no water, nothing is allowed. They get it through secret sources or routes. But like that, complete boycott, complete ostracism. So much so that they even had to go to the extent of chewing leather to survive and eating leaves to survive. What was it? It was a confrontation between the surat of Islam and the haqiqat of Islam. Between a surat and a haqiqat. And they had the haqiqat in their hearts. So therefore they did not compromise that haqiqat. They left examples for us. Look at the history of all the companions of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you will find the same thing very, very glaring. That when there was a confrontation, on the one side there was wealth, on the other side was iman. On the one side there was woman, on the other side was iman. On the one side there was children, and on the other side iman. Then every way it was the haqiqat of Islam which came dominant, which came shining through. We all know that if a lion's picture is drawn on a page, one child draws the picture of a lion, and he says that this is a huge lion. After that another child comes with a pencil or a pen and begins to scratch the face of that lion. And the lion can do nothing. It cannot do anything. Or if the lion is, there is just a statue of a lion, then anybody can go there and start pushing it and nothing will happen. In the same way, if the person has the skin of a lion and inside the skin they stuff it up with straw and they stand it up in some museum, then if a rat has to come and nibble at the toes of that lion, that lion cannot even give one kick to that rat. Because there is no haqiqat, there is just a surat. And that is our problem today. That throughout the world there is plenty of surat. Plenty of surat. Now when in a battle between Muslims and the enemies, if there is a defeat that the Muslims suffer, then we straight away say Islam suffered a defeat. We say the Arab world put together cannot defeat one Israel. Indeed it cannot. Because all put together also there is just surat and no haqiqat. When there was haqiqat, then Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in one battle, the battle of Yarmouk, when there were hundreds of thousands on the other side, and just one person had to mention that just look at the enemy's numbers today. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that if only the hooves of my horse had been right, then I would have told them that bring a double number, double that number. On one occasion he said that I require just 6 people to go and fight 60,000. Because there was a haqiqat inside. They knew that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help, his madad, his nusrat did not depend on numbers, did not depend on the kind of ammunition that you possess. It did not depend on the type of training that you have had. It did not depend on any of the material things. Allah ta'ala's help, nusrat and madad depended on the haqiqat that was inside the heart. Of course, that does not mean that they did not train. That does not mean that they did not make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala had created. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself encouraged the sahabas to train. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself wore coat of arms when he went into the battle of Uhud. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself made use of a sword and so many other things that are required. To make use of the means is something else, but to trust in those means, that just because we have got the best military in the world, therefore we will succeed. They did not believe in a thing like that. Jamal Abdul Nasser, during his time, Just because he made a few statements against America and he made a few statements against Britain, he became the voice of the Muslim world at one time. And then he got some pride and he started forming after that what we term as Arab nationalism. Then what happened? That voice of the Muslim world, when they tried to fight Israel, then in the 67 war, nothing was left. Nothing was left. Why? Because there was just surat of Islam and not the haqiqat of Islam. Wherever there has been just surat of Islam, nothing has happened. And it will not happen. For a long, long time, people even feared this surat of Islam. Because in the surat of Islam, they had seen victory. They had seen the nusrat of Allah come. They had seen the angels of Allah coming to the assistance of these people in the surat. So for a long time, the enemies even feared this surat. But after some time, when they saw that this is just a surat, just the outward image of a Muslim community worldwide, that we say we are 1 billion Muslims, 1 billion Muslims. Indeed we are. And we must make shukr that at least Allah Ta'ala gave us some surat and gave us iman and gave us Islam. We must make plenty of shukr over it. We should not think that the surat is not required. But it cannot confront the haqiqat. The enemies have now got haqiqat of kufr in them. They have got definite haqiqat of kufr. And we have got just surat of Islam. So the haqiqat of kufr with the surat of Islam, then the haqiqat of kufr will become dominant. We must understand this philosophy. Everywhere we want dominance. And then we say that, how is it that Allah Ta'ala did not come to the help of the Muslim Ummah? Allah Ta'ala's promises of help is for the Muslim Ummah. The people who have submitted themselves, their will and desire to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When they have got that haqiqat in their hearts, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is definitely going to assist them. Even though for some time you may find some tests and trials coming, but sooner or later the haqiqat will become ghalib and dominant. Now we have to look at our own lives in the light of that hadith which we are discussing. That Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will equate you with those who are tahajjud guzar on the day of judgment, even if you don't make tahajjud, but provided you give up sins. If you give up sins in your life, then Allah Ta'ala will equate us with those same people. Now there we want to see whether it is the haqiqat that is in our hearts or it is just the surat. If it is just the surat, then we will not be able to give up even a minor sin. Even a minor sin, we cannot give it up. We cannot give up major sins. We cannot even give up major sins, leave alone minor sins. Major sins will not go out of our lives if there is just surat of Islam and surat of Iman in us. I can take qasam in this masjid and I'm telling you that there are so many people who have been to khanqahs. They have been set at the feet of the mashayikh and they have made zikrullah. There are so many people that went out in jamaats and have done so much of tabligh and deen work. And now they are telling me that after we return, we can't seem to get up for fajr salat. We can't seem to be making our 5 times salat. And we can't seem to be giving up this and giving up that. And yet when we were out, at that time we were doing everything. Why? Because at the khanqah there was a haqiqat there. So at that time the effect of that khanqah was falling there. Or out in the jamaat, if there was a sincere person in that jamaat, it was a haqiqat. But once we return, then again after that comes the surat. So we have to build up this haqiqat in us. It is not just the surat that is going to help us. When the haqiqat will come, then we will be prepared to give our life. What is fighting shaitan and nafs? Just to get up for namaz, what is it difficult? What is it difficult to give up haram? What is it difficult to give up watching all the filth on the television screen? What is it difficult to give up an illicit relationship with some woman? If there is haqiqat in the heart, if there is not just the picture of that lion, just the picture of the elephant, just the picture of the tiger. The pictures of those tigers cannot do anything. They cannot fight anyone. They cannot blow anyone away. They cannot kick anyone. They cannot devour anyone. Nothing will happen. So we have to create that haqiqat in our hearts. And that haqiqat will come when there is sincerity. When we are doing this type of deen work, whether it is in the khanqah, whether it is in the jamaat, whether it is in the masjid, whether it's hajj or umrah, we should not say that only those people who are going out in these type of programs, we must look at their lives. I am talking about each and every one of us, whether we go to a khanqah or we don't go, whether we go in the jamaat or we don't go. But if we have got Muslim names and we have got Muslim garb or if we say that we are believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there must be haqiqat in our hearts, otherwise we are not going to be able to fight anything. Nafs and shaitan are becoming dominant over us. Everywhere this is becoming dominant. And now it is becoming a norm. People are finding themselves very, very comfortable in sin, and they are finding it very difficult to oppose nafs and shaitan. We always complain about the media calling us fundamentalists and calling us all kinds of names. Indeed. But there is no shortage of Muslims, believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who have got just the surat and no haqiqat, calling other Muslims fundamentalists. Why blame the non-Muslims and the disbelievers? They will call us fundamentalists. They will call us mad. They will call us insane. They will call us extremists. They will call us everything. That is their job. What else are they going to do? Are they going to call us very good and wonderful people? If they were going to call us very good, wonderful people with good character and good akhlaq and morals, then they too would have accepted Islam. So if they are labeling us, it is of not much concern. But if you have to look at the Muslim world, there is no shortage of examples, no shortage. Are they comfortable with Islam in their countries? As yesterday I mentioned to one visiting alim from Pakistan, I said, it seems that everybody wants Islam to come into the country. When you talk to a Muslim, then he says that he wants Islam to come into the country. He wants Islam in Pakistan. He wants Islam in Indonesia. He wants Islam in Tunis. He wants Islam in all these Muslim countries. So everybody wants Islam in the country. The only place we don't want Islam is in our own lives. The only place we don't want Islam is in our own lives. Because that is the easiest place to bring Islam into. It's the easiest place. And if the person doesn't bring it, then people will point fingers. So therefore we rather talk about a country far away and say Islam must come into that country. But how much of Islam has come into our own lives? How much of haqiqat of Islam has come into our own lives? There is nothing but surat. And when there is nothing but surat and image and picture, then we must expect no nusrat and help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with those pictures. Yes, at least the outward shape and form, we have got something now. But we should not expect that nusrat and help until we have brought the ruh and the spirit of that surat into that body that we have got. Until that spirit does not come in. If there is a lion, then until the spirit of the lion is not in that body, it's not a lion. If there is a tiger, then until the spirit of the tiger is not in that body, it is not a tiger. So we have got the body, we've got the structure, we've got the outward garb of piety. But now until we don't get that spirit, that haqiqat, that on the other one side can be millions of rands that we can be making by fraudulent deal and transaction. But if it is at the expense of, or the cost of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure, that Allah ta'ala will become displeased, then we say that we will forgo those millions. What is in those millions? To the person who's got haqiqat of Islam, millions or billions mean nothing. It's not that they don't make use of the money. We require money for masjids, madrasas, our own comforts, our cars, our hajj and umrah, and our family's needs and requirements. We need it. So money is not something that is condemned. It is not haram. But what I am saying, that if it is haram, then that haram to this Muslim who has got haqiqat in his heart, it is like pigs and pork and filth. He will say that I'm prepared to forgo the millions or billions, but I'm not prepared to sacrifice the pleasure of my Allah. Because He is the one who is going to take it away from me. Through different sources and channels, it's going to go. And if not in my life, within a generation of two, it is going to go. So brothers, we should not think that just by the surat of Islam, we will be able to draw Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, help and assistance. Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, Allah's help, Allah's assistance to the Muslim ummah has been promised on the haqiqat of Islam. And this haqiqat of Islam, it does not come just like that. Just by reading the books also of all hadiths, you cannot get the haqiqat of Islam. If a person reads a whole volume on sabr, he reads a big volume on sabr, does it mean that he's got sabr in his life? If a person reads a whole volume on akhlaq and character and morals, does it mean that after reading that he got akhlaq in his life? That akhlaq, when it is tested, then we will know whether he's got akhlaq. When somebody swears him, when somebody curses him, when somebody offends him, and at that time this person becomes a lion and starts cursing him, his father, his mother and his grandfather, then we will say, but you read so many volumes on akhlaq, where is your akhlaq? You heard so many speeches on akhlaq, where is your akhlaq? Just by reading volumes on shukr, you don't get shukr. Just by reading volumes on zuhd and taqwa, you don't get taqwa. Allah Ta'ala has got one system, and He has announced it very loud and clear in the Quran Sharif. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah. O ye believers, fear Allah. Wa koonu ma'as sadiqeen. That if you want to become of the truthful ones, if you want to become of the muttaqeen, if you want to become of the righteous and the pious, then you have to join the company of those who have got taqwa in them, those who have got sidq and sadaqat and amanat in them, those who have got zuhd in them, those who have got shukr in them, those who have got sabr in them. When you are going to associate with them, sit long time in their company, and then it will transfer. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then cause it to transfer. Therefore, I conclude that if you look at the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they were hajis amongst them. They were people who were namazis. They were people who were mujahideen. Everybody was amongst them. But what title did they get? The title that they got is that they are the Sahabas, the companions of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because that fragrance of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam transferred to them because of his companionship. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all, and especially myself, the haqiqat of Islam, so that nothing dazzles us. All the time we are concerned that my Allah and my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be pleased with us. We must not do anything for their displeasure. And accidental sins, then we make plenty of tawbah and istighfar. Then see what a wonderful life Allah Ta'ala will give us on this earth and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.